We're back with more of Lake Effect Weekend. I'm Bonnie North, and it's great to have you with us. Milwaukee resident Mary Dally Munsmeyer has channeled her creativity into a lot of jobs, from sous chef to hairstylist, study abroad program coordinator to genealogical researcher, from blogger to her current position as communications coordinator at the Wisconsin Conservatory of Music. Well, she can now add novelists to her list. Dally Munsmeyer published her first novel, called Artifacts, in September. She drew on her varied interest in different cultures, history, and even yoga to craft the suspenseful mystery, which she set in an import shop. She tells Lake Effect's Stephanie Lecce why she chose this unusual setting.
The possibilities for the subject matter are just expansive. There's a lot of different ways that you can go with it, and it has an international aspect to it and a cultural aspect to it, which are some of my main interests. So that's why the import store was chosen as a topic.
When the story begins, we find Wally, the store owner, who's discovered his employee, Al, passed out on the ground. What's happened to her?
She doesn't really know, actually. And he doesn't know either. And it doesn't look like it was a robbery or anything like that. The cash register is still full. But yeah, she's passed out in the middle of the floor, and he helps to revive her. But it takes her a little while to figure out what exactly has happened to her.
Basically, she comes to remember that she had taken in this chest, which was left pretty much on the front doorstep. And before she knows it, there's a blinding light that comes from the chest, and that's about all she can remember at first.
Right, yeah. She does remember hauling it in. A woman had dropped it off in front of the store. And she hauls it in and looks it over, and it looks fine to her. So she goes to begin her practice of yoga. And while she's doing her introductory breathing exercises, there is suddenly a bright light.
Tell me about the importance of yoga and the philosophy behind it to the story.
Well, yoga is the meditative aspects of yoga kind of open you up to a lot of different psychological avenues, both in the real world and in terms of fiction. So the meditative state and the calmness of it, really the metaphor is opening up the mind to everything that the universe has to offer. And that's how she sees it, though she is very much a skeptic at heart. But yoga helps her to calm herself and open up her mind.
A skeptic until she has this experience with the chest.
Right.
How did you create the lore, if you will, behind this chest, where it came from, its mystical powers? Where did you find this myth?
Well, the chest is made of runo, which is kind of like bamboo, only it's stronger. And it comes from the Philippines. And the practice is pretty common in the Philippines to recycle materials. So that is an actual fact. The kind of mythological aspects to it, or the supernatural aspects to it, are obviously completely made up. But digging into indigenous beliefs, that kind of thing, you'll find that kind of aspect of entities or energies being trapped or housed in certain objects pretty common throughout indigenous belief systems. So that's basically where it came from. But I'm not saying that it's fact. It's just, it is a work of fiction. So
Al isn't the only person who's come in contact with it who's had this strange, overpowering experience.
Right. Yeah. The woman who had dropped off the chest in the first place, her husband had started to act very oddly and kind of sitting in front of the chest and chanting a word that his wife didn't understand. So the chest has proven itself to have effect on other people, but it's up to Al to kind of figure out what exactly is going on, both with the chest and with the individuals, who the other characters that step in to the story.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the relationship between Wally, the store owner, and Al. They have this really great banter between them, and they have a certain amount of chemistry and tension between them. How does this play into how much Wally reacts to what Al is telling him, especially some of this stuff, which honestly sounds a little crazy?
Yeah, and it sounds crazy to him, too. But his personality is one that he won't necessarily block off a form of thinking, even if he doesn't really believe that it's true. He has kind of a laissez-faire attitude towards life and a lot of other things. So his reactions to what's happening to her are, you know, really supportive but funny at the same time. And they go back and forth. There are a lot of relationships like that where you have a woman in her 20s or 30s or 40s who has a very strong connection to an older man or woman, could be a woman. But Wally happens to be, you know, a baby boomer. So he's mid-60s, maybe pushing 70. So he's had a lot of experience. But that relationship, I've had relationships like that with particularly older men, and Wally is a combination of those men. So those relationships interest me. It's basically an avenue to talk about different kinds of relationships, and particularly a relationship that's generationally, bridging generations, but also bridging gender. So those kinds of relationships are really fascinating to me. And they happen quite a bit, and they're not necessarily talked about too much, I think, in our culture, but they exist.
Who are some of the other characters that we meet along the way? I know Jonas plays a pretty hefty role.
Yeah, Jonas and his brother Tobias. Jonas, he was a high-powered lawyer. He decided to leave his practice to open a community center in one of the tougher neighborhoods in town. And Al brings to him a drum. She's in a trance and, again, doesn't remember this until the next day. What happens to Jonas is he is kind of put in a trance state as well. And he is told that he should fly to Senegal. And that's where home is. So trying to figure out why Jonas went to Senegal is kind of like the second half of the novel that it deals with Jonas.
And what is the significance of this drum? You mentioned this idea of going home, which was also a theme with the chest as well. Why was this idea of going home important to you, especially as how it relates to objects themselves and maybe that energy that they have that you talked about before?
Well, for Al, she has what I like to call emotional artifacts. Emotional issues, things from her past that she hasn't dealt with before. And technically, she doesn't have a home. So wrapping that metaphor up into artifacts that have been imported from countries, ending up where they shouldn't be, really, that is a part of the whole theme of going home and being in the right place, which goes back kind of to the relationship between Al and Wally. And there being a sense of home there. His support of her is unwavering, even though he might doubt some of the things that she says. So it's an overall theme to the novel.
Why did you want to explore this theme of home, these relationships, and even these emotional artifacts that you mentioned?
Well, I think in the modern world, we have a little bit of difficulty trying to create home. We spend a lot of time away from home and away from the people who are really important to us. So that kind of a theme, I think, rings and speaks to a lot of people when they are trying to navigate the complexities of their lives. They have a trouble feeling at home or knowing where home is. So those kind of questions, I think, are important to the kind of modern industrialized lives that we lead.
Now, Al is a former PR representative, and I know that that is something that you have worked in.
Yes.
And I wanted to ask how much of the inspiration for Al is autobiographical and how much is just pure fiction and the writer's exercise of creativity?
Well, you know, I actually enjoy doing marketing and public relations quite a bit. I mean, I have never worked in a corporate setting. So I've kind of gone out of my way to avoid that setting altogether and worked in very small businesses. And right now I work for a nonprofit, the Wisconsin Conservatory of Music. And I do really enjoy the work, but there are a lot of contradictions that exist in that. And if you're a conscious person, what your effect is on the culture that you live in, that can be a lot of conflict within yourself. There's a lot of, shall we say, fakeness in some of the marketing and PR field. So trying to balance that with your understanding of ethics, that's something that I wanted to talk about. The settings that she works in and or had worked in and the settings that I work in are different, but there are still those contradictions that kind of come up.
Is this why you turned to writing, to kind of have a creative outlet to explore some of these issues, this being your first novel?
Yeah, I've been writing for a very long time, and writing has always been a way for me to try to work out the inherent contradictions of life. It can be a very confusing world, and it can be very confusing internally as well. So writing is, amongst other artistic expressions, is a good way for me and for everyone out there to explore those conflicts and contradictions and the joys and the struggles that we have in life.
Now, will we see Wally and Al again?
I'm thinking about it. You know, those are two characters that I like spending time with. And as I said before, the subject matter of being in an import shop just has kind of unlimited possibilities. You can go anywhere with that. So, yeah, I would be interested in writing a sequel.
Great. Well, Mary, thanks so much for coming in and speaking with us today.
Thank you very much, Seth.
Mary Daly Muntzmeyer's debut novel is called Artifacts. It's published by Cerebral Benz Productions. That's a creative services company Daly Muntzmeyer launched in 2003 with her husband. She's also the communications coordinator at the Wisconsin Conservatory of Music, and she blogs about Wisconsin art and culture at Cricket Toes. She spoke with Stephanie Lecce. It's the marriage of literature and technology next when we hear about an interactive kids' book application for the iPad. We'll meet the author and illustrator when Lake Effect Weekend returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.